We're here on Daf Vav Amin Aleph, approximately 10 lines down from the top. Abaye Omar. Until now we had the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, that Chashed Al Mamona Lo Chashed Ashvuasim. We brought a number of different proofs to support that approach. But Abaye Omar, Chashed Al Mamona Chashed Gam Al Ashvua. And therefore, in the case of Shnai Mosim Batalis, if we were Choshesh for Tkifa, the way Rabbi Yochanan had it, then we couldn't impose and administer a shvuah because he's chashud, and the shvuah would be unreliable. Because again, Abai is of the opinion that chashud amamona, chashud gam, ashvuasa. But the reason why there's a shvuah in our mission of Shnai Mosim Batalis is Abai's chayshinan, shema milvi yeshana yeshlo alav. Perhaps one of the two, whether it's Reuven or Shimon who's holding on to the talis, had a milva way back when he lent money to the other guy, whether it's Reuven to Shimon or the other way around, doesn't matter. And the lova never paid back the chov. And the malva realizes that if he takes the lova to Bezdin, if he sues him in a court for the loan that was never repaid, he, the lova, will deny payment. He'll be kofar hakol. The reason why he'll deny payment is because it's been such a long time, he won't remember the chov. Therefore, he took the law into his own hands and he grabbed the talis. And he's even willing to take a shvuah that half the talis is his because he knows that he deserves to get that money legally because the value of that talis is equal to the value of the chov, the loan that was never repaid. And Rashi explains here, Dibra Maschal Abaye, that Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and holds that Chashed Al Mamona, Chashed Ashvuasa. The Ramban says that we don't have to go that far. It's very possible that Abaye also agrees to Rabbi Yochanan. But Abaye says that the Chashash of Rabbi Yochanan, for which the Rabbanan instituted the Shvuah, namely that somebody would go ahead and grab someone else's talis, That's not a real chashash. We don't have to consider that possibility. We have to consider the possibility that someone would grab onto his friend's talis in order to return money that he thinks is due to him, is coming to him. The Gemara says, Ihachi nishkal belo shvua. If the only reason you're imposing, you're implementing the shvua is because you think that he's really taking back his own money that he deserves, because of the milfa yishana, then adarab, let's drop the shvuah, let's allow him to take that money, because that money is coming to him. Again, if the whole reason for the shvuah is because of that chashash, then I don't see why you need a shvuah. You know, on the tzad that this is what you're worried about, then enachinami, let him take after talis. Elo, you have to reformulate Abaye a little bit, be a little sharper and a little more precise. Chayshinon shema safek milvi yishani yesho alav. He's not sure, again, whoever grabbed onto it, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, he's not sure that his friend actually owes him that money. Maybe owes him the money. He's going to grab onto the talis on the tzad that his friend owes him the money. So the Gemara asks, velav amrinon Tofis mamona misfeka mishtabi nami misafek. If you're telling me that we don't want to allow him, the tokef, to take half the talis because maybe there was a loan, but maybe there wasn't a loan, maybe there is a payment that's due, maybe there's not, and we can't allow him to take the loan to his hands on a safek, but if that be the case, then you're talking about a person who, mitzad safek, he grabbed onto the talis of his friend because he thinks that maybe his friend owes him a chov. Is such a person, maybe he'll be willing to go a step further and take the shvuah. And even though it might be a sheker, but he's willing to say, you know what, I'll take the shvuah because maybe it's the truth. Om Rav Sheshes, Breid Rav Idi, Parshei Inish Misafik Shvuah. A person is Poresh, a person will avoid, he's inhibited to take a shvuah that might be a shvuah sheker, but Velo Parshei Misafik Mamona. But as far as grabbing onto someone else's mama and be suffic, that he's willing to do. My time, what's the difference between the two? Mamona isei bechazara. Shvua leisei bechazara. He realizes that if, in the worst case scenario, he grabbed mamon from his friend illegally, meaning he turns out after researching it, his friend did not owe him any payment or any loan, then you know what? He'll give back the money. Taking someone's money is reversible. If he finds out that indeed his friend doesn't owe him, he'll return the money. And therefore, in his mind, he justifies, he allows himself, permits himself to take someone's money misafi. But shvua lesa b'chazara, shvua is irreversible. And if it turns out later on that he, in his bara adover, became clear that he illegally, not only illegally grabbed onto someone else's moment, but illegally took the shvua that it's his, there's nothing he can do to remove that shvua. Now, the Ran says, is there an afkamina ledina between Rabbi Yochanan and Abaye? In other words, in all the cases that Rabbi Yochanan holds that he's chashed al mamon, we're saying that he's not chashed on a shvua. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we impose the shvua. According to Abaye, the same logic applies in the case of the chashash of a suffik milvi yishana. So what exactly is the nafkamina? The principles are identical. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Abaye adopt the same principles. They are different permutations of the cases, the scenarios. So the Ran says in Chidushin that there's a nafkamina in a case where the nitba, the defendant, was mochel to the plaintiff on any old loans. You know, let's say he made, for argument's sake, to dramatize, he made a declaration, any old chovos that you owe me are all gone. They're all nimchal. They're all wiped out. According to Rabbi Yochanan, in such a case, he could take a shvua. And why is that? Because he's chashid al mama, but he's not chashid al shvua. But according to Abaye, he wouldn't take the shvua. Why? Because he's chashid on the shvua. Abaye only says, you know, he can take the shvua in a case where there is a milvi yishana, but here he made a declaration that he's not interested in collecting any old chovos. However, despite this Ran, the Nesivis in Choshim Mishpat Siman Tzadi Beis points out that it's possible that after Shimon, let's say, was mochel to the plaintiff all the chovos that he might have had, he may possibly remind himself that there is one chov that he didn't even think about at the time of the mechila, and because that chov, he went and he grabbed the talis and he collects it for himself. So even though he was mochel all the other chovos, maybe this particular chov he's not mochel on, and his general mechila has a toast into it, and therefore it's not chal. Now the Gemara says the following. Boy Rab Zera. Rab Zera has the following suffix. And we're talking about Shnayim Oksim Vitalis. What's Rab Zera's suffix? Tekafa Echad Bifanenu. What if in the front of Bezdin, in the presence of Bezdin, one of the two, whether it's Reuven or Shimon, grabs the talis out of the other one's hands? He hasn't yet taken a shvua. Mao, what should we do in this case? Meaning there's an implication of shtika koda dami. If in front of the Bezdin he grabs it and the other guy doesn't scream and yell, maybe that indicates that he's admitting that it's not his and there's no need now to impose a shvua. Hechi Dami, the Gemara says, what's the case of Rab Zera? Idish Shasik. If, as we indicated before, the other guy, out of whose hands he grabbed the talis was Shosek, he didn't say a word, is Oduye Odile. You know, Rab Zera doesn't have to rack his brains on this. It's crystal clear. That's called Odas Baldin. Vida Katsavak, but if on the other hand he's yelling and screaming, making a protest, a big fuss about it, then it's poshut on the other end that the tefisa is not worth a dime. Just because he's a big bully. My avi leilam evad. What else do you expect the one from whom the tefisa was implemented should do. I mean, he's just able to yell and scream in front of Beis Din, so there's no hodah here. Lo tzricha, what's the case of Reb Zeira? Dishasik mei karav adar tzavach. Initially he said nothing, and then all of a sudden he starts yelling and screaming, why is the guy taking it away from me? My, here's Reb Zeira's suffix. What's the din? Me the ishtik, since the original shtika was there, oduye odile shtika kodada. I mean, that's it. Now he wants to change his mind and rescind his odah. He doesn't have the ability to do so. Odil, what should we say? Cave under Kotsava Hashta, the fact that he's yelling now indicates that Igloy Milsa the Haida Shasig Mekara, that really he is being victimized here. They're ripping out the towels from his hand. Aye, why was he quiet to begin with? Savar Hadakhazile Rabana Hakazile Rabana. That there's no need for me to make a big stink and a protest and yell and scream because this is in the presence of the Beis Din. The Beis Din sees that he's grabbing it away from me. Certainly they're gonna support me, and they're not gonna support or recognize or validate a tkifa grabbing it out of their hands. So how do we view this case of Shasak Ulebesov Tzavach? And on a psychological level, in terms of what we call umdun and circumstantial evidence, we can clearly see that there are different ways of viewing this. You know, you may say that let's just freeze it with the original shtika, and that's it. Shtika go da damya, or no. Now that he's being so vech, let's go out back to the original shtika and reinterpret it. Om Rav Nachman, Toshmai, Vabraisa, to prove. And Bimachriya, the Safik of Zerah, Bamedma, Amur, and the Braisa says, when do we apply the principle of Shnayim Olsim, Betalis, Yachloku, Beshvua? That's only Bishneim, Adukim, Ba. They're both holding on to the Talis. Avalhoisa, Talis, Yotzis, Mitachas, Yodosh, Alechamim. If one of them is holding on to the Talis, is the other guy, is Hamotzim, Chavel, Varaya? So the Gemara asks, Hechi Dami. If you take this literally, Kipshuta, on a superficial level, is Pshita? If one guy comes to Beis Din, he's holding on talis, the other guy says, no, that's my talis, is go fly a kite. Hamotzi mechavel v'raya. We know this. This is codified in Mishnayis, in many Mishnayis. Ella, but rather, what's this braisa talking about? Takva echad b'faneinu. We're talking about a case where one of them grabbed it in front of Beis Din, grabbed it out of the hands of his friend, and his friend was shosik, and then he was tzoveach. And the Braisa paskins that in this case Amotzi Michal Varaya, that the very fact that the Tokev grabbed onto it and now he's Muchzog, is we take the shtika, the original shtika of the Nechtaf and Nitkaf very seriously. And shtika ko dodamia. And that will be the achra for the suffix of Reb Zeira. Lo, the Gemara says there's no proof. Hacha ma'eskina, what's the case of the Braisa? Kigon diyasu lekamon, kidit fisu le travayu. They came to Beis and they were both holding on to the talis. V'amrina lo zil plogu, we told them go out and split the talis. V'nafku, they went out. The Hadar also they came back into Beis and kitavus lechadmina, and one of them is holding on to it exclusively. Hi, Omar. The one who's grabbing it, he claims, Oduye Odili, that after we left Beis Din, he was too embarrassed in Beis Din, but after we left Beis Din, he admitted that it's mine, and that's why I'm holding on to it. But hi, Omar, the one from whom the talis was grabbed, he claims, Bidomia Garti Nile. You know, we had this talis that belongs to both of us now by virtue of the Psak Beis Din. So what do we do? So I decided, you know, I'll make him an offer. He could take the entire talis, and he rents my half of the talis. He'll pay me rental. The amrina lay, ad hashtoch hashadet lay begazlan, hashtoch mogris lay below sadi. The Mishnah, or the I should say the Braisa of Haskins, then in this case, we apply the principle of motzi mechavero, and when he comes back into Beis Din holding the talis, we believe him. That the other guy was moda, because what's he saying? I wasn't moda. I allowed him to take the entire talis because I had a rental agreement with him. Wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, you came in Beis Din accusing him of what? of stealing your talis. Now you're saying that you rented him the talis. Where are your edim? You didn't take witnesses along, but you don't trust this guy. So the claim that you rented him the other half of the talis is, and this is another statement, a very weak claim. And it's not something that we can learn, that we can learn to live with. Iboy is saying, the Gemara says, I'll give you a different explanation of the Braisa. So what the Braisa means is kidiktani. Let's take it literally, kipshuto. The Asul, come on. Kitofis lechad minayhu. That they came in front of Bezdin, and one of them is holding the talis. No, if that's be the case, so what's the chiddush? By kavash from pshita, ve'idach misrach beisruche. This is what we call in modern Hebrew rifyon. The other one is you know, barely holding on to it, very weak. He doesn't really have a full fledged tfisa. And the Bryson wants to tell me, in such a case, if he doesn't have a tfisa, he's just holding on to it loosely, that's not considered a chazaka. And therefore, the talis is in the chazaka, the one who's really holding on to it. I suppose if you want to gauge or judge whether or not it's sruche, or it's a full-fledged tfisa, you would see, if you pulled it, whether or not he has any way of holding you back from it. Because if he's only loosely holding on to it, you know, you just pull it out. But there's more to it than that. The chiddush here, the Braisa, says the Gemara, is that I feel the sumchus the omer moment amutu b'safek cholke b'lo shvua moda sumchus the sircha lav klumhi. Even though sumchus allows, in a case of moment amutu b'safek, to split the mamon, and therefore in the case of shnayim ochsim metalis, we might split the mamon even without a shvua, but moda sumchus that sirchas lav klum. And there was only one person, Alpidin, who's holding on to this talis. And even Sumchus in that case would say it's not Momen Amutu B'Safek, but rather it's Amotzi Mechaver, all of Araya. Now, this sugi is a little bit difficult, because when the Gemara adds Sumchus into the picture, you know, invites Sumchus into the arena, it seems inappropriate, because the Gemara already established on Daf Beis Amid Beis that Sumchus is talking about a Drora de Mamona, which is an objective suffix. Here in Shnayim Ochsa Vitalis, or Nisrochim Vitalis, this is not an objective suffix, a Drora de Mamona, like the case of Shoshanaga Chesapora. So the Rishonim offer an answer, which you'll see in the Shita B'Kubetzes, that Gemara thinks that if Sircha is meaningful, it's valid, then perhaps seeing in front of us now is not what happened 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, he had a full-fledged chazaka on the talis. Now, somehow he loosened his grip. You know, maybe his hands are hurting him, he got distracted, whatever it might be. And therefore, if we assume by virtue of the sircha that originally he had a full-fledged chazaka, then that's like a drar de mamona. And the Gemara says, no. That even in the case of Ochazin, even if I grant you that he originally had a full-fledged tfisa and achiza, that's not drar de mamona. And why isn't it drar de mamona? If you take a look at Rashi here, about 5-6 lines above the end of the page, Rashi says, sircha lav klumi, v'ein shar shachet lefanecha v'lo domi l'nimtza ubra b'tzida. Rashi says that a drar de mamona for sumchus means an objective suffix. You know, we don't know if the animal gave birth before the chalipin, after the chalipin, before the misa, after the misa, in the case of shoshanagach. Whatever it is, you need a shar shachet lefanecha. And once you have a shar shachet lefanecha, you ask yourself, well, who's the rightful owner of this shar shachet? That's where sumchus says cholkin. That's an objective suffix of shar shachet lefanecha. The very reality generates this the suffix. And that's what the maskana of the Gemara is here, that sircha lav klum, this is not a case of shor shachet lefanecha. Here, Sumchus would also agree that amotzi mechaver l'varai applies. There's no objective suffix here, because sircha lav klum. Now, at the end of the day, with regard to the suffix or abzeri here on that vav, there is no final conclusion. The Gemara sort of, at this point, leaves the suffix up in the air. In Shulchan Aruch, in Choshi Mishpat Kuflam and Ches, he paskins that Ein Motzi in Miyod. Meaning that in this case, where even though originally they both were Tofsin, were Oksin on the Talis, one of them grabs it in front of us, the other one shows it, so Tzavach, we're going to leave the Talis status quo, Shevi Altas in the hands of the Tofis. And we're going to apply the principle of Ein Motzien Oso Miyado. So the Tekifa works. Now, if that be the case, then based on everything that we've seen, the Ein Motzien Miyado here in the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Shtika, the original Shtika of the other guy, even though at the end he started screaming. And if that be the case, what would be if Edim would now testify on behalf of the other guy, the guy who was silent, and then he started yelling? Would that change the situation? So the Shach points out there in Shulchan Aruch that if Shtika, according to the final conclusion as codified in Shulchan Aruch, Kehoda Adami, then Edus would be irrelevant, because when a person is Moda, he's chayv to pay based on that Odah, even if Edim testify against it. And now the Gemara builds on the possibility of, or both possibilities, in Rav Zeir's Safek. Imtim Tzaloma, the Gemara says, that talk for Echem Fenein Motzien also Miyado, is what would be the deal if Higdisha, instead of grabbing the talis, he was magdish the talis, the entire talis, is Eina Mekudeshes. That Hegdish would not be Chal. Because if in Tkifa it doesn't work, then Kolshkein, how much more so that Hegdish is not going to work? I mean, Tkifa might work because of Shtika Koda, etc. But if at the end of the day he cannot be Tokef the talis, so basically he has no ownership rights whatsoever. He has no potential ownership rights over that half of the talis. And without ownership rights, there's no possibility of Hegdish. Only the Bailam can be Magdish something. But, says the Gemara, Imtim Tzalom, according to the other side, then as we pointed out in Shulchan Aruch, that's how we pask, and that Tok Vechem Fenenu Ein Motzien Oso Miyado, that we realize that Shtika Kododom, even though he's Lipsof Tzavach, because how is it that he's quiet and he's silent when somebody else is grabbing his talis? But what about if somebody else, instead of grabbing the talis, Igdisho, below Tokfa, he didn't grab onto the talis? Mao, what's the din? Just he was Magdashit. Shall we assume that the act of Hegdish is a replacement, is equivalent to the act of Tkifa? And why is that so? Says the Gemara, Kevon, the Omar Mar, the Chalchamim have coined and formulated a super duper principle of Ami Russell Gavokim and Si Russell Hedjotomi, that once a person declares something as Hegdish, he doesn't need a Maisa Kinyan. It automatically becomes Momen Hegdish Bekinyono. The Amir itself is a substitute for a Kinyan. Is maybe we should say here in our case that once, let's say Shimon, whenever it was Magdashit, is commanded to Kofa Domi, it's for all intents and purposes equal to grabbing the talis. If Shimon had grabbed onto the other half of the talis and ripped it out of the hands of Reuven, and if Tukva is Shalom, again according to this tzad, which we said is the ultimate psak of the Shulchan Aruch, that Ein Motzien Biyado in the case of Tukva, is then he could be Magdashit. Oh, Dilmosh, we say no. There's a difference. Hashta mia lo holo tkafa. It's tkafa means that you have the talis under your hands, right? You grabbed onto it and now it's under your hands. And we have now two factors. We have A, the shtika koda from the original shasak, and that indicates that it belongs to the Tokef. And B, through the act of Tkifa, he now has the object in his hands, in his possession. And therefore, for sure, we understand in the case of Tokva that he could be Magdish the Talis. But here he hasn't been Tokif it yet, and he wants to be Magdish it. Uksiv, the Torah says, as far as Hegdish is concerned, Ishki Akdish is Beso Kodesh, which we interpret to mean Ma Beso Bershusaf Af Kol Bershusal Afuki Haidla Bershusal. The Gemara says, look, you haven't been Tokif the Talis. There's some element of controversy here over the ownership of the Talis, and you're going to go ahead and be Magdish it. What power, what bilus do you have to be magdish? The Torah requires a double bilus. It requires both shalo and vershuso. Now again, in this sugi, we're talking about a case of shosak ula besof tzofak. So the whole suffix was umdin and das. You know, we don't know whether or not the original shtika should be taken as such, or do we reinterpret the original shtika retroactively when he starts yelling? Gemara now is connecting that and that issue back and forth about umdin das, how do we interpret shtikas, tzovach basof, and so forth, connecting it with whether it's bershuso or not bershuso. You know, the Torah says, kiaktish is beso, ma beso bershuso. I mean, what's this all about over here? L'chora, it's very difficult to connect the two. But apparently, what happens here is that if we would have assumed that shtika is kodo adamye, in the case of takva, then we might assume that shtika kodo adamye applies even in the case of ikdisha. And what the Gemara is suggesting now is that once there's a hodaya through a shtika, this object, in this case the talis, is going to go back to its rightful owner. It's almost like his friend, who was moda through shtika, is holding on to it in the interim as a pikadon, as a deposit, but it's really biyad acherim. And the Gemara therefore wants to know, can we consider this birshuso or not? And the Gemara is arguing now that here, the talis is not birshuso, and therefore we cannot be magdishit. So if the Gemara is suggesting a tzad here, that just like in Tokfa we see a shtik as hodah, so too in Higdisha we see a shtik as hodah, that seems to be what the Gemara is vacillating about, then what's the problem here? If you're assuming that now, since he wasn't tokefit, the shtika is not to be interpreted and defined as a hodah, so then he doesn't own that second half of the talis. And it's like he saw it in shalom. I mean, the Gemara's a pella here. Why does Gemara feel compelled to invoke the halach of beso bershuso? Forget about beso bershuso. If you don't have bialis, he can't be mocked or something. It's not shalom. If we assume that there's no shtika kodah, if on the other hand there is shtika kodah, as we said earlier, then it's not only shalot, it's also b'shuso, because the other guy is just holding on to it as a bikadah. But somehow the Gemara now changes its position, and it's very difficult to read this into the words of the Gemara, and the Gemara thinks that, okay, maybe shtika is kodah, dummy, but you know what, it's mechusa gevina. You know, he hasn't really collected that talis yet. At the present moment, his friend is still, Reuben is still holding on to the talis. And that's a chisaron of shalom bershuso. But Rabosai, this point in the sugi has to be have to do a drish of a chakir, you have to be dash very thoroughly, be even gadol, to figure out the lumdus of this sugya, because again, l'chora has nothing to do with a chisaron reshuso. It's either shtika kodah dami or it's not kodah dami. Toshma, the Gemara says, we have achra, proof to one of the tzadi asofek. Why? Dahi masuta. There's a story about a beis hamerchatz. This is a structure. Dahavi Minsu Alet Betray, there were two people fighting over ownership, contending ownership. High Omer Didiva, High Omer, each one claims it's his. Kom Chad Minayu Akdisha. And here we start, Avav Omer Bey. So one of them went ahead, and he was Magdish the entire Masuta, the entire Beis HaMerchatz, to Shlashamayim, meaning to make it Hegdesh. And this, of course, would be what we call Kedushas Domim, or Kedushas Perek HaBayis. And then, as a result, Parshuminei, there were Chachamim, like Rabbi Chananya, Rabbi Oshia, Vekula Rabbonon, that decided they're no longer to use the Beis HaMerchatz. Again, back in the day, using the bathhouse was a big deal. It was an essential part of the culture. Public bathhouses. We still find the archaeological digs from yesteryear, they find them. In any event, if now one of them went ahead, one of the two contenders went ahead and was Magdashit, the Chacham said, you know what, maybe it's his. And if it's his, it's Hegdish is Chal. We're not allowed to benefit from this Merchatz, because even Kedushas Perek HaBayis is also Banah. The Amalei Rav Oshia L'Rabba, Rav Oshia, who's one of the heads of the pack of those who were Machmir here, and they didn't want to use the Beis HaMerchatz, lest it's Hegdish, he tells Rabba, maybe you could check this out for me, Ki Azlis Kamei to Rav Chizda L'Kafri. Please, when you go to Kafri, a far-off city, you'll meet Rav Chizda there, and Boy Minei, and ask him what the din is. Now, imagine this case. Rabba's on his way to Kafri. Ki also L'Sura, on his way to Kafri, he makes a stop, a detour in Surah, and there he finds Rav Hemnuna. So he didn't even make it to Kafri to Rav Chizda, but he asks Rav Hemnuna this question. Talmidei Chacham like to talk and learning, so this was a hot issue about whether they could use the Beis HaMerchatz, or should they consider the Beis HaMerchatz as Hegdesh and avoid any use of it. Amalei Rav Hemnuna Masnisidi, I can answer your question from a Mishnah in Taras in the fourth parak. Sofek Bechoros. Okay, now Sofek Bechoros could come under many different categories. A Bechor, if it's a Behema Tahora, we're talking not about a Chamori, but a classical Bechor Behema is given to the Kohen. And it becomes sanctified Mirechem. As soon as it's born, it's the first Peterechem. But what happens if a Sofek arises regarding this animal? Rashi, three lines down from the top, says, Kagon behema sheyoldov, and you're doing bichra kvar imlo. We're not sure if this is the first. Maybe the animal had given birth previously, and this is not a peter rechem. So what do we do with this case? We have a suffix whether it has to go to the Kohen or not. There's a suffix whether it has kedusha or not. We have to treat it with a great deal of awe and respect, because maybe it's kadosh. And then we have Bein Tahor and Bein Tmeyim. Now, what's the case of a Bechor of Bein Tmeya? That's the classical case of a Chamor. Tahorim means Kvasim, Izim, the regular kind of lambs and sheep and goats. That has to be given to the Kohen if it's a Bechor. Now we have a Suffolk in the case of a Chamor. Now, the Chamor needs what's called Pidyon Beseh, and then the Seh is given over to the Kohen. In all these cases, we have a suffix, whether it's a Bechor or it's not a Bechor. Correct? Because Rashi says we don't know if it's the firstborn. I mean, we could elaborate a little bit on Rashi. If you take a look at the next Rashi, he says, Echad Bechor Adam Kagon Shei Pila Imo Lefanov. We're now talking about Bechor Adam. We're talking about Pigeon HaBen, Chamesh Slam, that has to be given to the Kohen. And now, in a case where she, the mother of this boy, had a hapola, she had a miscarriage, and we're not sure if that miscarriage was a viable being. It's called ruach. And if it's ruach, it was too early in the stage, but we don't know how to clarify that. It's lost. Then the ba'akrav is a bechor. So in all these cases of sveikas that divide up into so many different categories, the Mishnah Paskins in Bechoro, in Taros, is Hamotzi Mechavero, Olav Haraya. That the Israel gets to keep this. He doesn't have to be Poda's son. He doesn't have to be Poda's Chamor. And he doesn't have to give his Bechor, in this case, Sofik Bechor, to the Kohen. So it doesn't matter. In all these cases, the halach is the same. And even though we don't know if the Bechor here goes to the Kohen or goes to the, or the Israel can keep it, in all cases, Hamotzim Chavero, all of Araya. If the Kohen wants to get it out of the hands of the Israel, and claim that it's it's a bechar, or it's, you know, a pigeon of a bechar in the case of chamor, then all of a raya, he has to adduce, he has to bring edim to testify that that this is really rightfully his, but we're not going to give him the bechar or the dmei pigeon aben just based on a suffik. Now, at this point, what we're saying is that hamotzim gavel v'raya, whoever's holding on to it. Now, again, I presented it in a skewed way. I said the Yisrael is holding on to it. Well, that is the initial situation, the reality. But then the Kohen may have grabbed onto it, and that's called Tafso Miyad Yisrael. And maybe the Yisrael, in this case, was Shasak Ulubisov Tzavach, which again, it's a little bit problematic here because nobody really knows whether this is Bechor or not. So what's Shasak? I mean, anyway, so now the Yisrael wants to get it back from the Yad of the Kohen because the Kohen grabbed it from the Yisrael. Now the Yisrael becomes the Motzi. So again, it's like a ping pong game. You know, it goes back and forth. In stage one, the Yisrael is Muchzak, and the Kohen is the Motzi. But in stage two, if the Kohen went ahead and took the law in his hands with his own initiative, he grabbed it out of the, grabbed the Bechor, or the pigeon of Bechor, out of the hands of the Yisrael. Now the Yisrael has the lower position, because the Tfisas Kohen is meaningful, in this case of Safek. And Ein Motzi and also Miyado. Now he's the Muchzak, is HaMotzi Mechavel V'Raya. Oh, so now we could say that the Kohen, the way we're interpreting this whole story here, and the Mishnah in Taros, the Kohen has a real ownership over this Sufik Bechor, because Araya, he has the potential to be Toface. All he has to do is just grab onto it, and it's his. V'tani Ella, now we can understand what the Braisa comments on that Mishnah in Taros, that Asurim Begizov Avoda. We have a Sufik Bechor, and the Kohen has a real tzad, a real hand, or an ownership rights in this Safek Bechor. A Raya, he could grab onto it. And therefore, the dinim that apply to a Bechor will go into effect. A Bechor is also a Giza, you're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of his shearings, because of its kedusha, it was kadosh mirechem, and avoda, you're not allowed to work the animal because it is kadosh l'mizbeach. And in all these cases, you see that the rights of the kohen to be toface generate a certain hegdesh. In other words, there are two dimensions here. There's the bailus of the kohen, and you see that clearly from Amotzim Chavel Raya that the bailus of the kohen is very, very serious and very heavy. Again, it's now in the state of potential because he hasn't yet grabbed onto it, but if he actualizes that potential, is Ein Motzi Miyado. So the kohen is really, you know, he's bullying around his bailus, his ownership. Now there's another dimension here, and that's the Ketushas HaBechor. And if the Kohen really owns it, then that ownership engenders a Kedushas Bechor. And I'm just going to quote a Chiddush here in the footnote here that's attributed to the Ritva. He writes, Kedushas HaBechor, no vas. Again, that's not the word of the Ritva, but that's how the modern Hebrew would rewrite the Ritva. No vas mi yoso momen Kohen. No, it's the din of momen Kohen, the matnas kuhn element. Here's what engenders the Kedusha. So the Gemara says, now we have a proof to answer up the original Kasha Reb Zera Hocha. The Omar Tokfa Kohen Ein Motzi and also the other language of the Mishnah indicates that if the Kohen would take the initiative and grab onto the Safek Bechor, we cannot take it back and rip it out of his hands. The Ketani Amotzi Mechavel Raya, meaning in both directions, whoever's the Muchzak and the other guy is the Motzi. Vilo Tokfo, but if he hasn't yet grabbed onto it, despite that fact, nevertheless, Asurim Begizov Avoda, you see that the potential, the right, the legal right of the Kohen, which is so solid because he can grab it, that itself creates a bailus now, even without exercising his rights to be Tokef. Meaning, the Lamaisa is not as important as the theory, as the concept. In abstract terms, who owns this Bechor? And the answer is, that since it's halacha of hamotzi mechaver, which allows the bechor to go back and forth like a ping pong, then not only does the Israel have a bialis element in his chus bialis, but the Kohen has no less of a chus bialis. And that's why the dinim of Kedushas Bechor, which depend upon and are generated by bialis HaKohen, go into effect, and it's asur v'gizu avoda. And if that be the case, let's go back to our situation and see the raya from it. What was Rav Zera's suffix over here? Well, actually, I don't think I could blame Rav Zera. Rav Zera, let me just clarify this. We already left his suffix of Tokfa Echo B'Faneinu Mao. We're assuming that Tokfa Echo B'Faneinu is Ein Motzi Miyada. That's the final conclusion. That's how it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. But then the Gemara added a suffix, vacillating back and forth, if instead of being Tokev, he was Magdashit. Is that Hegdesh valid? And the answer is that just like in the case of the Masuta, the Chachamim were very nervous about this Masuta because one of them took the initiative, he was Magdashit, meaning that since he had enough Bailus, and how do I see that Bailus in substantial, tangible ways? The fact that he could have been Tokev, and Ein Motzi and also Miyato, that gives him enough of Bailus to engender a Hegdesh, a Mais HaKadosha. That's why the Chacham were careful to avoid using this bathhouse. And we see that Rav Hamnuna, when he wanted to answer this question about Ekdisha, and justify the fact that the Chachamim were careful and inhibited about using the Beis HaMechitzah, he invoked the Mishnah in Taras, which tells me that in a Suffolk Bechor, we have to treat that Suffolk Bechor with all the serious, awesome, inhibitions of Iser Gizav Avoda, because the Kohen has a right to be Tokev. And that indicates his bialus, and that bialus enough to engender Kedusha. Amalei Rabba turns back to Rabbi Menuna, and he says, Kedushas Bechor Kamer, there is a certain gap here, a jump that you're making. The analogy is not, it's not tight. It's not sewn up tightly. Because in the case of Bechor, you're talking about a Kedusha that's Memela. You don't need to be Magdish, the Bechor. The Bechor is Kodesh Mirechem Imo, insofar as it's Petach Hamor. And that's an automatic Kedusha. Liolam emelech atok for Kohen motzi and oso miyado. Afilu hachi asurim begizav avodo the kedusha b'meileh shiny. As we said before, the kedushas bechor, which is chal immediately, birechem imo, is called a kedusha b'meileh. And now you have a suffik bechor. That's a suffik kedushas bechor. You don't know if the kedusha is there meileh or it's not there. That's why it's also Begizah Avoda. It's not that the Iser Gizah Avoda reflects the fact that the Kohen has Bailus, and that Bailus expresses itself in his ability to be Tokev. Liolam, I would tell you no. Tok for Kohen, ain't Motzino, is Motzino so miyado. He doesn't have the right to be Tokev. If he doesn't have the right to be Tokev, why is there a Kedushas Iser Gizah Avoda? And the answer is because it's Kedusha Haba Meleah. It's an automatic Kedusha. In the case of the Beis HaMerchatz, there it's very possible that even if I grant you that Tokva would be meaningful, be effective, and that's again based on the final conclusion in the Suffolk before of Rabbi Zera, because we're going to equate Tokva with Shtika Koda, meaning that Tokva is powerful enough to engender, if he was Shosik, even though he's Besof Tzarech, a Hoda Dami. And the same thing would apply in Merchatz. If one of the two litigants would go ahead and grab onto the Merchatz, that potentially has to be Tokit, but nevertheless, he cannot be Magdish, the Masuta, the Beis HaMerchatz. Because again, we're not talking about the Hegdesh of Memela, which is the Hegdesh in the case of Bechor, but rather we're talking about a Hegdesh that's Ba al Yudei Magdish Dovar. And again, if he hasn't yet been Tokev, it's certainly not Bershuso. As we said before, it is quite possible that even if I grant you that shtika, in the case of shasuk v'sof tzavach, is koda adami, but it's still nevertheless not b'shuso, and that's what we called mechusa gavaina, and therefore it's not equivalent to bias, and the egdish is not chal. So it sounds like, although Rav Hamnuna would have come to the conclusion that the Chachamim were justified in avoiding this Beis HaMechatz, Rava's conclusion, on the other hand, is that no, they don't have to be nervous about it. They don't have to lose any sleep over it, because even though one of the two litigants went ahead and was magdish it, and he could have been tokef it, but that right now he wasn't tokef it. It's not Beis over shoes, so and therefore the Hegdesh is not chal. Now, we've been contending here in the Maskon of Rabbah that the reason why the Hegdesh, if one of them was Magdish, the Masuta would be invalid, is because of the Chisaron Beis Ober Shuso. I just want to point out here, there's a note in the name of Shimon Shkup and Shari Yosher Sharhei, which seems to go in a different direction. He wants to assume that a Motzim Chavel of Araya is not really Bailus, it's not ownership, it's not really Shalom. But what it is that Hamotzim Chavel Araya gives him shlita, he gives him control, ishtamshes, he can use the object. And that's not enough to give him rights to be magdish the object. In other words, if one is muchsak, the other one can't control it, and we're not going to grant it to him, and if he won't get use of it, it's only the one who grabbed it and has chazaka that's going to get use of it. But nevertheless, he still cannot be magdish it, because the reality is that we don't know if it's his or not his. And once there's a suffix who the bailim is, then he can't be magdish it. Only in the case of kedusha b'me le'a, in the suffix b'char, there the kedusha is chal mi suffix. But when we have a doubt about bailus, then there is no opportunity or validity to be magdish. Now, I don't have the Shari Yosher in front of me. I am a little bit baffled, because I still think there should be at least a suffix hegdish here. If you say it's not beso, then it's absolutely impossible to be magdish it. Period. It's mechusa gavaina. It's not takas yodo. And therefore it's not Dumya the Beiso. But if you're going to tell me that the Chisarni is in Bailus, I would at least grant you a Suffolk Bailus. And Rav Shimon wants to make a valid distinction between Shlita and Ishtamshus and Bailus. And in the case of Mukhsuk, he has Shlita and Ishtamshus, but he doesn't have Bailus. That's fine. But at least you have to grant me a Suffolk Bailus. Why shouldn't the Hegdish be Chal Mitzad Suffolk? Now the Gemara wants to suggest a proof to Rabbah that Tokfa Kohen Motzi and Oso Miyodo. Omale Rav Chananya L'Rabba, Tanya Demisai, I have a raya from a braisa to support your claim that the Tfisa of the Kohen is not meaningful in a case of Sofik Bechor, because the braisa says Asfekos, let's say you have a bunch of lambs, you know, that were used as a pinyon of Petah Chamor in a case of a Sofik. So you had a Chamor that you're not sure if that chamor is a bechor or not a bechor. And the din is that we have to be mafresh a seh and do a pidyon mitzad sofek to be mafkia any sofek isur in this chamor. And as a result of this sofek, he's not chayv to give the seh that he used as a pidyon chamor to the kohen. He can still hold on to it. Now, what happens if a Jew has a number of tloim in his flock that were sofek pidyon peter chamor? Is the Brisa says something very, very surprising? Nichnosim lidir lehisaser. There's another parasha besides the parasha of peter chamor and pidyon peter chamor. There's also a parasha of meiser beema. Now, meiser beema means I have 10 animals, one of which I'm going to designate as Maisa Behema for the Mizbeach. But what happens if mixed into the ten animals, which are all included in the minui, in the accounting for the maser purposes to get to the asiri kodesh, we can add into this deer, into this mixture of animals included in the number 10, even those tlaim that are a suffix pigeon. The isal kedaita. If you're going to tell me that talk for kohen is ein motzi and also miyado. Right, the Gemara wants to reject this position now and prove Rava's conclusion that Motzian also be other. But in the position of Rav Oshia, or at least Rav Hamnuna for sure, that ain't Motzian also be other, which means, as we said before, that the Kohen really has bilus in the Safek Bechar, that you could sink your teeth into it. And again, Safek Bechar includes the Beimat Meh of Chamor, and therefore the set that was given as a Safek for Pijon. Is he really has bailus? And Haraya, according to the Shita Rav Amnuna, talk for Kohen ain't motzian also miyado. He has a schus tfisa, a schus tkifa. Is then nimtza amaynich nosim ledir nimtza ze poter mamono but mamono shall Kohen. In other words, the chiyuv to be mafresh maser from 10 sheep is from your own sheep, but you can't use one of the sheep of someone else and included in the deer in the 10 for Farfroshas Maser Behema. And therefore, let's say, for example, if that Safek, that Tle that's a Safek comes out to be the Asiri, since the Kohen has rights of Tkifa, and therefore that generates or indicates ownership, then the Israel is using the Mammon Kohen to patter himself up from his Chi of Maser. How could he do such a thing? It must be, therefore, like Rabba maintains, that ein lekohen shum tzad uzachia batleh, and therefore, even if he was tokef, is motzian oso miyado. And therefore, it's completely in the possession, the ownership of the Jew, and he can include it in the deer for the purpose of maser. Omalei Abaye. Now, let's get the name straight here for a moment. Rav Chananya was the Amora who brought this proof for Rava. That was his Tanya de Messiah. Now, Abai turns to Rav Chananya and he says, you know what? Imishum ha lotus tayelamar. If you're only basing yourself on that brisa, don't bring a proof from that brisa to support Rabba of Tofu Kohen Ein Motziyim Miyod. Hochmai Askinon kigon de lesle elatisha vahu. The case is that the Israel has only 9 tloim, and this is the 10th. This is the 10th, is Safek, whether it belongs to the Kohen or not. Is then Mimonavshach. Ibar Chiyuvahu, if indeed the Chamor was not a Bechar, and therefore the Seh is not Pidgin Chamor, and therefore the Seh, this Tleh, is owned fully and legally by the Israel, is then Shapir Komaaser. He's not taking the coins mammon in order to be mekayim his mitzvah his chov of hafroshes maaser behema. But e la bar chiyuvahu, on the other side, the flip side, if let's say indeed the chamor was a bechar and the tle therefore is a pigeon bechar, and therefore the tle belongs to the kohen, so what are you nervous about? Tisha la bar asurin, he only has 9 animals and he's not chayim maaser. A brilliant chap of Abaye. Again, when Abaye says Hochmai Askin the Sukimta, that he only has 9 animals plus this Tlev, the Suffolk pigeon Chamor, as a 10th, okay, that's a bit of a pill to swallow, but nevertheless, it's the Cheshbon here is absolutely magnificent. But nevertheless, let's not be disappointed, because Hadar V'yomer Abaye changed his mind. La Milsi V'yomeri. You know, you gave me a PhD for my thesis, but I have to tell you, it's not true. And there's no way of slugging up Rav Chananya's Raya here. You know, this price definitely is a full and a clear-cut Raya to establish and demonstrate that talk for Kohen Motzian Oso Miyado. That the Kohen has no schus in the Tleh. Because if the Kohen had schus mominos and bailus in the Tleh, such that he could be tokev, then even the other 9 Tloim are in a suffix chiyuv masa behema, and therefore he shouldn't be chayev to be mafresh at all. In other words, the Brisa says that what do you do here in this case is nichnasim l'dia, the sveikas nichnasim l'dia. Why l'saser? Why is that necessary? It's the sveika lav bari suri. I'm going to prove to you from a mission in Bechoros that in the case of a suffik, you're not even chayev in hafroshas maser behema. This is the very, very famous Mishnah that everybody knows, but everybody knows it from Baba Tzia, not from Bechoros, is Kofatz Echad min amenuyim litochan kula peturim. Let's say after you let out, what they did was they put the 10 lambs in a corral. They opened up the door and they let one out and then another out and then the third out till they got to the 10th and they wrote Asirei Kodesh on its back, right? So now what happens before he got to the Asiri, one of the Tloim jumps back into the corral. He wasn't careful about this. And therefore, any single Tleh that I isolate is always going to be a Safek, whether it's already Manui and it's Potter. Is therefore kulam p'turim. Why? Because now every single tleh in the corral is a safek, and the Torah says asirei vadai velo asirei safek. Tosus Dibur Maskil Kofatz says teima de levatel beruba v'lachayev kulam emasa. Tosus wants to activate the principle of bittel over here and say that manui is batel. And Tol says the Adavar Shabiminya lo batalim in Rabbanon, kavua nami lo avi. Tol says blyb shver. He leaves it hanging as an open ended question. He doesn't have an answer to this question. In any event, let's just review that Rabba now rescinds his original brilliant presentation, and he comes to the conclusion: no. It must be that talk for Kohen Motzino so miyado, that the Kohen has no Zchus Momon. Otherwise, if he had Zchus Momon and he was Potter, then in a case of Safek, there is no Chiyuv Masa. The Torah requires as a prerequisite for Chiyuv Masa Behema that it be Asirei Vadei velo Asirei Safek. V'yis al kedaitach Sveika boy Asirei. And he says the following. Let's go even a step further, says Abaye. Even if you'll assume that in a case of Suffolk, you are Chayiv and Meiser, and the reason for that is apparently that we want to be Machmir in Suffolk, is La'aser Mimonavshach. And this Mimonavshach is based on a principle of Rava, that's called Minyan Haroi Poter. Again, the premise of Abaye here, when he changes his mind, is that in a case of Suffolk, there's no need to be Mafresh Maser at all, and he bases himself on a mission in Bechoros of Kavatzecha bin Amenuyim Kulam Pturim. Now, Abaye wants to explain, to flesh out his proof from that Mishnah, that Suffolk is not in the Din of Maser at all, and there's no Chiyuv Hafrosha. Which leads us back to the original question, why the suffix tleh in that tleh is to be added with the other tisha, and there will be a hafroshes maser, which is going to lead Abaye to conclude that tokfa kohen motzino somiyadu, and therefore the bialus is that of the Yisrael, based on the chazaka, and therefore you could add that tleh to the other nine, but it's not a suffix. Now, how does Abaye prove that in a case of Suffolk, there would be no din of Maser? He says the following, because Kofetzachem Menuyim Kulam Peturim, if you're going to tell me that in the case of Suffolk, you need Afrashas Maser, right, because there is a possibility that you're Chayev, then why are they all Peturim? Let him be Maaser them. He should go ahead and be Maaser them. And Mimonavshach, in all of these 10 that go out, when he's Magdish the Asiri, he's going to say, Ibar Chiyuvu, if that 10th is Chayov, because again he's Sofik with its Chayov, and there be a Chalos Kedushas Maser, and that would mean that all the 10 have not yet been subject to Maser, is Shapim Maser. Now it makes sense, they can go ahead and be Mafresh the last one. So again, if the last one, the 10th, is not the one that was kofatz, that was already counted, then everything's fine. Then his afrasha would be chal. So why is kafet zechem ben avinuyim kulu p'turim? Ilabach, if you're worried about the possibility that the one of the ten that now is pronounced maser is the one that was kafat, and he was already counted, is niftar b'minyan aroy, right? Then the other nine, which went out, should be part of b'minyan aroy, diyomar rava b'minyan aroy poter. That means, in a case where, let's say, you have 10 animals, and 5 of them went out, and then the other 5 got lost, or whatever it might be, is the first 5 are poter, because at the time that you let them out, the minyan itself is a poter. And therefore, if you're left with another 5, which is not enough for chiv meiser, then you're poter. And that's the principle called minyan aroy poter, meaning if at the time of the minyan, when it went out of the deer and you counted it, it was roy, you know, it was included in and it could have led up potentially to the 10th, then that's a poter. And that's derived from what the Torah says in Vayikra Tezayin, Kol Asher Yavar Tachsa Shevet HaSiri Yeh Kodesh LaShem, and the Chazal say in Bechoros, Asher Yavar V'lo Shekvar Ovar. And that which already went out, Yavar Tachsa Shevet, is you don't have to be mafreshen anymore, because at the time that it went out, it was a minyan aroy. So again, now we come back to our question, Lama lo yimne es kol elu shebechal asofik mimonafshach yu peturim emaser. Right? You should be able to count even when kofet zechen v'nuyim, and everything fits in beautifully. Why? Because again, the mimonafshach. If the 10th turns out to be the bar chiyuva, that's fine. And if the 10th is the Safek, so then all the other 9 are potter because of the minyan aroy. Elamai yislan lemeimar. So therefore, if you want to answer this question and explain why in the case of kofet zechem nuyah there's no maser at all, the answer is asiri vade omrachmon of lo asiri Safek. That there's no chiyuv of maser unless you have a vadai. Unless that asiri will definitely be kadosh. But if you have a doubt, because maybe it's the one that was kafatz and he's already potur, then there is no afrash at all. That's why kafatz echmenu and kulim p'turim. It's hachanami. Now we can go back and reject what we said before, says Abaye. I told you that what it says in the Brice is that in the case of Sfeikos, is nichnosim l'dir l'saser. I told you, I was talking about a case where there were 9 without him. No, if there were 9 without him, then Asiri Vadiyom Rachmon of Lo Asiri Safik, and there shouldn't be any Chiyuv Afrash at all. And if we have no choice but to say that the reason why we're Mafresh in this case is because the Kohen doesn't have his Chiyuv at all in this Safik Bechar. And the reason for that is because talk for Kohen, Motzi and Oso Miyado. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll stop here. On the top of Daf Zayin Amud Aleph in Emirat Hashem, we'll continue sometime after Shabbos or on Yom Rishon. Everyone should have a great Shabbos.